colonoscopy tomorrow. Y'all just remember and pray that everything comes out all right. I have to tell it. My brother here just blew me away. He just said he was having a colonoscopy done by a guy that had been in the Army. I think he'd been a lieutenant colonel or colonel. And he said, be glad you weren't in the Navy. He said, why? Because he said, then you'd be a rear admiral. That was awesome. I hope somebody that has in the military tomorrow. Amen. I want to use that. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
And you know, I don't never have a surgery back. So he had a colonoscopy, and he said, you know, it was a beautiful nurse with long black hair. And he said, he blows her hair slanted back. You know that one.
All righty then. Yeah, when you gotta go, you gotta go. Amen. That is a fact of life. It is a principle that we've lived by all of our lives. Amen. y'all stand up. Y'all stand up. I want you just to turn around, get somebody high five, low five, no five, shake their hand, do something, and just tell them God's in here in a real way, and God wants to do something special in their life today. That's right. It'll hurt. Oh, yeah. No, 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 no. God is good. You heard this story about the two persons discussing whether the state of Hawaii was Hawaii or Hawaii. So there was a strong struggle. So they stood arguing until they decided to ask a person that was walking by. They asked the gentleman, said, excuse me, sir, is Hawaii pronounced Hawaii, Hawaii, or Hawaii? The gentleman said, Hawaii. They both looked at each other as the gentleman walked leaving, and one of them said to him, thank you. He said, you're welcome. It's all in how you bring it out, amen? So today we're going to do something. Matter of fact, today we're going to do something really different. This is different, and I'm not here to generate strife in us with what's going on in the world, but to just give us enlightenment, amen? It's called Mocking Isaac. How many heard about what happened in Oklahoma City a couple of days ago? A man went back into the place. He was a worker. I think he had gotten fired, and he was trying to convert people to Islam. He goes in there, and he winds up killing a woman and cutting off her head right there in Oklahoma City. And killed another woman. And there's stuff like that going on all over the world, but there's just some wild stuff going on. And I just want us to be up and knowing what's going on, okay? So get your Bibles out. Stand for the reading of the Word. It's going to be hopefully short and simple. I hadn't drank anything yet, so look, I got plenty of time. I hadn't drank anything yet. Mocking Isaac. Matter of fact, I hope you take plenty of notes today. I hope you get this down because this is so important. I want you to understand what's going on around us. How many has heard that what's going on over there now has been going on for centuries? I mean, you've heard it in thousands of years. It's been going on over there, and for thousands of years, this has been an ongoing conflict. That's very much true, but it's not only over there now, it's over here. And so we need to understand, and we got to understand what's happening around us. Genesis 21 and 9. And Sarah saw, let's go to verse 8. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, Ishmael, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking Isaac. Wherefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be the heir with my son, even with Isaac. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well on the throne, Father. I know this day is your day, Father, and I trust you, Lord, to minister to us and through us, Father. Help us to get a good understanding, an idea of what's happening around us. And I ask you, Father, to touch in such a special way that this day will go down in our minds as one of our greatest days. Lord, enlighten us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, we're going to lay down and tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And nothing, and nothing, and nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Now the Bible just clearly says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, Ishmael, which she had born unto Abraham, mocking Isaac. Now there's an ongoing struggle. This has been going on for centuries. This has been going on way before Christ. This has been going on for 4,000 years. It's a strong struggle that's been happening. I've put up some stuff that, matter of fact, I'm going to stop and read some stuff. I got it right up here. And if anybody wants any notes, you can have all the notes you want. I'll make copies of this whole sermon and make copies of notes and give them to you. I just want you to understand what's going on. Now there's an ongoing struggle. The mocking of Isaac was more than simple kid play. If it was simple kid play, then why would Sarah get so upset? So there's a whole lot more than him going, ah, look at him. Ah, check him out. He's off the bottle today. There's a whole lot more than that. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Galatians 4 that it was persecution. There's a big difference in just mocking somebody and persecuting them. And persecution means to chase. It means to hunt down. It means to hurt. It means to take opportunity to bring harm and hurt to somebody. So here's what it's talking about. So Paul says that right here, and you, brother, like Isaac, are children of promise. Okay, can you put that on number two, please? Try two. Make it a little darker. Okay? And you, brother, like Isaac, are children of promise, but as the time he was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the spirit, so it is now also. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, we are the free woman. What's that saying? It's saying that we come through the line of Isaac. Amen. Everybody in here, you know, we may be Lintons and Browns and Tuckers and whatever our names are, and Smith and Jones, but ultimately, especially if you're a child of God, you came through the line of Isaac. Amen. So now, watch this. Watch carefully. So now, mocking equals persecution, but I did a strong word study. I mean, I took it deep. And as I did this study, as a matter of fact, this is what brought up this whole sermon, was this scripture right here. That word mocking also means to terrorize. Whoa. It means to terrorize, to cause fear, to cause you to run the other way. Of course, persecution, but terrorize. So mocking, persecution. Mocking of persecution to terrorize. What is going on in this world today? Everywhere you look, terror is being promoted everywhere. Terrorists all over this place trying to cause us to live in fear of what's going on. As a matter of fact, a lot of these guys don't even have to do anything. All they have to do is get you believing something's going to happen. By something they said or something they done, and then you get scared, and then they have already won this spot battle. So the mocking involves more than just Isaac. It has grown to include the entire Jewish nation and Christianity throughout the world. The entire Jewish nation and Christianity throughout the world. So now I'm going to be real clear when I start showing this. Of course, we see Fort Hood, we see the Boston bombing, we see Oklahoma City this week, but it comes from the radical groups. Somebody say radical. The radical groups. And they not only do they want to hurt us, but if we don't join them, they really want to hurt. How about in Iraq right now? They say, look, if you're a Christian, if you will convert to Islam and you will pay, then you can stay. But if you, that's what ISIS was telling them. But if you're a Christian and you refuse to convert from Christianity or from whatever other religion, then we are going to take you down. So that's plain simple. I didn't make it up. I'm not trying to say what did or didn't happen. That's the truth. How many heard it? Yeah. All right, you've heard that, okay? So now, let me show you something about this ongoing struggle. And I've got a personal witness that helped me understand this really strong. And he helped me understand this long before. He told me this long before he went up, or well before I came, or the Lord started dealing about this sermon. There are peaceful Muslims in this world. There are. The peaceful Muslims are called the moderates. These guys, listen to this, this is true. Look, they're peaceful, they're not harmful, and they proactively seek peace. You know, I was asking Daniel about how it was living. Daniel sent me a picture. And in the picture, when he was walking through the streets of Kabul, they were dressed like the Taliban, and they're walking through the streets of Kabul. You know, here's Daniel, and he's got four or five Muslims beside him. And they're all dressed up like the Taliban. They all got AK-47s, and they're walking through the streets, and they're protecting the people and doing what they got to do. And I said, Daniel, how do you feel about being in a Muslim country, and you got Muslims guarding you? And so Daniel flat out told me, he said, Dad, there's five guys that every day of my life, I put my life in their hands. And every day of their life, they put their life in my hands. We know each other's children's names. We know our wives' names. We know what our desires are. We know what we want to do. And he says, Dad, these guys, I trust every day. He said, I don't have a problem with them. It's with the radicals that we have a problem with. And there's something called Pashtun Wali, which if you see Lone Survivor, the last Navy SEAL, as he's trying to get in, he goes into a Muslim town, and a guy protects him with his own life and keeps him safe until they actually come and rescue him. Right? Daniel said he's had that Pashtun Wali used on him. He said he'd go into towns, and while he's in towns, while he's guarding other people, guys would come to him and say, okay, we're going to take care of you. We're going to guard you while you get some rest. We're going to guard you while you eat. We're going to take care of you. We guard you with our life. So just let me tell you, not every Muslim's out there to kill you. All right? We got, of course, you got to ask God for wisdom and discernment, in all of this too, but not every Muslim's out to destroy you. Just know that, all right, we're off top of the bat. All right, remember, y'all say this, moderate, number one, and then extremist, or radical, or militant, number two. It's the radical, extremist, militants that you want to watch out for, because they will kill you. Amen? And so here, I'm going to tell you something here. The Quran, how many know what the Quran, how many has ever read the Quran? Okay, there's one, yep. The military guys, y'all all, and the contracts, y'all all read the Quran. Okay. The Quran has 114 chapters or 114 prophecies, and the surahs within them are called chapters. All right, so this book was written over about 22 years. Muhammad himself was illiterate. He could not read, he could not write. He said that the angel Gabriel came unto him and spoke unto him, and gave him some of this stuff. So part of the Quran is his visions and his dreams as he gives to somebody else, and then they put them on paper. But it's not just his dreams and his visions, but it's also, watch this, it's got a lot of Jewish literature in it. There were some Jews in Arabia, and they had the Talmud. How many's ever heard of the Talmud? The Talmud. The Talmud is the Jewish book that's written by the rabbis. It's got to do with Jewish traditions, and it's got to do with Jewish customs, and it's actually contains teachings and opinions of thousands of rabbis on a variety of subjects. There's also misinformation from heretical Christian sects. There's Eastern ideas from Persia and India, and there's ideas from friends who were seeking the truth. But the most powerful influence on the Quran is the Talmud. So Jewish writings are the strongest that's pushing the Quran. So now, if you look at all the stuff that's going on here, here's why she's teaching. Here you go. See, Abraham, he had Ishmael, he had Isaac. So Ishmael, Muhammad come from Ishmael. Isaac, then there was Moses, and then there's Jesus. So you got Muhammad, and you got Jesus. So from two different lines, there's a child of the flesh and a child of the spirit. Now, we're going to find out where we start parting ways and why we part ways. So go ahead, dear. I hope you can read. No, you can't read that. I'm sorry. I thought you could. Well, have you ever got a telescope? I'll read it for you. Abraham is clearly significant in the formation of Islam. He was found in 25 surahs, or 25 chapters of the Quran. There's only 114 chapters. He's in 25, so you know he's very powerful in this. He's a big influence. He's a prophet. He's one who received revelation, the example of pure faith. He paid his debt in full, and a strict monotheist, meaning one God only. Back in that day, when Muhammad came into power, the guys from Ishmael down were actually polytheistic. How many know what polytheistic means? Polytheistic means you worship many gods. And so there's this polytheistic going on, and Muhammad comes along telling something different to these guys. There's only one God. And so here he is. Islam is said to be an expression of the religion of Abraham, the friend of God, and Abraham is considered a prototype of Muhammad. Muhammad taught that Abraham went to Mecca to sacrifice his son who was not named. That son came to be identified as Ishmael. Here we go. Here's the parting. The Bible tells us clearly, all the way through the New Testament, who was offered, although God delivered it with an angel, the ram in the thicket, but who was offered on Mount Moriah? Isaac. In the Quran, it says that Ishmael was sacrificed. Here's where the discrepancy comes. They say it was Ishmael, not Isaac. Therefore, Ishmael inherited all the promises of God, not Isaac. So here it is. Muhammad also believed that Abraham accompanied Hagar and Ishmael to Mecca, which is in Saudi Arabia, before returning home to Sarah. Ishmael married a South Arabian, and Abraham came to visit him, and together they built the Mecca shrine. So Abraham is known for building the most holy place in the Muslim world, Mecca. Abraham is supposed to be the one to help build it. Muslims believe that the Jews changed and distorted the Bible in order to establish themselves as the heirs of Abraham's covenant blessings. However, they failed to explain how the New Testament clearly teaches that the covenant was made with Isaac and his descendants. Now, do you understand why there's so much hatred? Can you understand this? Can you see this? All right, go ahead, dear. According to the Islamic tradition, Abraham had 8 sons rather than 2 who were reared in Mecca, not Hebron. They insist it was Ishmael, not Isaac, when Abraham was about to sacrifice on Mount Moriah when an angel stopped him. According to the Quran, the Abrahamic covenant with his promises, including the title deed of the land of Israel. What are they fighting over? Israel. They believe the title deed belongs to them, not the Jews, which was passed down to the Arabs through Ishmael rather than the Jews through Isaac. So watch this. Ishmael comes to prominence as the chosen of God, not Isaac. The last prophet, as a matter of fact, Muhammad is known as the last prophet of God. Islam hails God as the God of, not God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but Islam says the God of Abraham, Ishmael, and Muhammad. So what's going on here? So these guys here, they have a whole different outlook. It's like, what's that when that mocking took place, when that persecution took place, and then right after that, Isaac taken up on the Mount Moriah, it's no longer Isaac, it's Ishmael. And so everything gets kind of thrown out of kilter. So now, how is it her Hal Lindsey? He's a pretty cool dude. He's good about last day stuff. Hal Lindsey said, this is exactly the situation that continues to develop in the Middle East. The world has been dragged into the ancient conflict between Isaac and Ishmael in spite of its best efforts to stay out of it. This conflict that has raged between these two half-brothers for 4,000 years is destined to ignite the last war of the world, according to Bible prophets. From the time Muhammad started the Muslim religion, the dimensions of the conflict began to enlarge. When his followers laid claim to Jerusalem as their third holiest site, the die was cast for Jerusalem to become the trigger of the War of Armageddon. How do you know that Jerusalem is the holiest spot in the entire world? You know why it's the holiest spot? Because it's a holy spot. It's the only place that the three major religions have set up there. It's the holy spot, the Dome of the Rock for the Muslims. It has the Jews, their temple there, so there's the Jews. And then the Christians, that's where Jesus ascended to the Father, and Jesus is coming back. So it's the holiest place in the entire world for all three religions. All right? And so here it is. So this is really some powerful stuff. The die was cast for Jerusalem to become the trigger of the war of Armageddon, just as prophet Zechariah predicted 2,500 years ago. Zechariah prophesied Jerusalem would be a burdensome stone for all the peoples, and that all nations of the earth would be gathered for war because of it. Zechariah 12:3. And we're eyewitnesses right now. We see all this taking place. Ezekiel predicts that a nation to the extreme north of reborn Israel will become Israel's archenemy. It will be a nation with vast arsenal, which arm all the Muslim nations. That's Russia. Russia is the only nation to the extreme north, and they are descended upon from the tribe of Magog. So just as Ezekiel predicted, Gog and Magog, God himself commands this power from the extreme north to take command of the Confederate Muslim forces and lead them in and out attack, or lead in an all-out attack against Israel. This attack will be the first battle of the War of Armageddon. So you got this stuff happening as we very much see it. Now, there's going to be an army coming with millions of soldiers. And they're going to come from the east. So here you go. Now you got Russia, and you're going to have China. And they're going to come in, and they're going to try to destroy Israel. So now, with all that thought about, let me just tell you something. Before you say, well, how in the world can we know that it wasn't Ishmael and it is Isaac, and how can we know that these Bibles weren't written at the same time? Let me just tell you something. By the time Muhammad started writing his version of what he called God's Word, the Quran, and the Quran is known as the only not manipulated Word of God, by the time he started writing that, the church had been in existence for 600 years. By the time he started writing his stuff, the Bible had been in existence for 600 years, Old and New Testament. So what he did was he came 600 years later, and he said, hold on, I'm getting a different revelation from God. The Bible says that we are an angel come to you with something different than what we've told you. Leave it alone. Okay, so 600 years later, he comes up with this and said that we're all wrong. And so it's a powerful thought. It's powerful what he does. He was actually a commander. He fought almost 40 wars. He was a commander himself. And it's during all these wars, as he said, God was giving him the revelation of the Quran. So now, when Isaac was being mocked, here's why it's so important to understand, not only the terrorist part, but this is why it's so important to understand what was going on. And my wife and I were doing some research, and you know, they cut off people's heads, and in Revelation it says that if people refuse to accept the mark, or people refuse to convert to whatever this new religion is going to be, that they're going to lose their head. Who's the only people cutting off heads? Right? Not just ISIS, not the moderate, but the militant. Okay? Now, if you watch this thing in the Old Testament, again, they're looking at this based on Jewish writings too. Back in the Old Testament, when God told the guys to go in the Promised Land, and even told Saul, I want y'all to go in. When he went into the Amalekites, I want you to go in, and I want you to take them all and kill them all, man, woman, child, and beast. And if his writings are influenced by the Old Testament, the first few books of the Bible, and also with that kind of mentality, there's no grace, none whatsoever. And I was reading the Quran, and the Quran says the only way to be sure of going to heaven is to enact jihad. So that's these guys that are killing themselves and killing others, they believe that they're going to be taken into the presence of God. Immediately, they're going to be assured of their place in heaven. And the other guys that aren't doing this, at the judgment day, they're going to be raised up, and God's going to judge their works and decide if they've been good enough to get into heaven. Muhammad believed in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells in Revelation that the false prophet's going to have two horns. It's going to be like a sheep or a lamb with two horns. So in order for a one world government and a one world religion, you're going to have to pull Muslims and Christians together in order to make a, best can't we all just get along moment. So how can you pull the Muslims and the Christians together? Well, let me just tell you, the Muslims believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he was a great prophet. They believe he was a powerful prophet who did miracles, but they also place him and Muhammad right at the same level. So Muhammad's a prophet who didn't do any miracles. Jesus was a prophet that did all kinds of miracles, but Jesus was not the Son of God according to them. Jesus was a prophet. And in the last days, Jesus will come back, and he'll come back to exercise judgment on them that called him God. So now, in order for the two horns of the ram or the sheep to be there, you're going to have Muslims and some form of Christianity, whether it be, some think it's the Catholic Church and the Pope. The Pope is trying to get these guys together. You've heard some of his summits he's had with the Jews and with the Arabs. But what's going to have to happen is you can coexist together with the Muslims as long as you do not declare Jesus as the Son of God. That's it. If you do not declare him as the Son of God, if he's not part of the Trinity, because according to Muslim belief, there's one God only. We believe in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so if you would just say Jesus was not the Son of God, that Jesus is not Lord, that he is not God himself, but he's just a prophet of God, then you can coexist with the Muslims. So in my mind, that's what's going to happen whenever the false prophet comes along and he pulls all the religions together and has a one world religion. It's going to be a religion that does not claim Jesus as Lord or the Son of God. So now, watch this. There's Isaac and Ishmael. Here it is. When he was mocking that day, what was he doing when he mocked that day? Let's watch this. When he was mocking Isaac that day, he was doing more than just mocking a little fella that has been weaned. Okay? He's doing more than a 17-year-old going after a 5 or 6-year-old or a 7-year-old. It's more than just sibling rivalry. It's more than just trying to make fun of him. Because, remember now, until Muhammad come along, Ishmael was a great man. Ishmael was a great leader. But when Muhammad come along, he elevated Ishmael to prophet status. When Muhammad come along, he's the one that changed everything that we had known for thousands of years. He changed it all on that hill on Mount Moriah. He changed it and said it was Ishmael. And from that time on, everything went backwards. So watch this. When Ishmael was mocking Isaac, there's about five things. First, he was attacking the people of God. So what are you talking about? Isaac represents the Jewish nation. The Jews are the seed of who? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Amen? So because he's the seed of Isaac, and Ishmael's seed are still attacking the Jews, the Middle East hostilities today, everything you see points back to this moment. Everything that's going on, everything that's happening, you hear Iran saying that we can take care of Israel with just one storm. Meaning what? We're going to blast them with nuclear weapons. And you've got the other nations coming up against Israel. Not only coming up around against Israel, but you've also got Russia, who is getting in cohorts with all these guys. And why is Russia in cohorts with the Arabs? Because they want the Arab. They've got oil. They want the Arabs' oil. And so it's important for them, you know, the bear, the Bible says the bear is going to make the bear is going to get hungry and start roaming. He's hungry for oil. And so because he's hungry for oil, he's coming down, he's mixing with the Arabs, and the Arabs' chief enemy are the Jews. And as you can watch lately, Russia is on the move again. Look at what happens, what's going on with Russia. And they're not being checked. Nobody's stopping them. They're moving, making the Soviet state bigger again, and they're doing what they want to do. So watch, here it is, unchecked. So now, I want you to think about something. One day Israel is going to be delivered from all this mocking when Christ returns. Matter of fact, the first battle they have is in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 38 and 39, all the Arab nations and Russia comes down on top of Israel, and God's going to supernaturally deliver them. So it's going to be a very powerful thing, and it's going to look like, hey, this thing's going good. But then the rapture, it's either going to happen just before or just after the rapture, and once the rapture takes place, then things get really nasty. All right, so here we go. Ishmael going out and mocking Isaac was attacking the people of God. Likewise, Satan is attacking the people of God. I watched and I heard the prayer request today. I've heard prayer requests. I've been involved in so much stuff lately. I as a counselor and as a pastor and as a parent, as whatever. You can put all kinds of hats on. But you can see that Satan is trying his best to destroy the people of God. The Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God's called us to bring forth the praises unto God. But you know what? Let him bring it. He's not going to destroy us. Amen. You know, how many's had some battered sails and torn sails? Guess what? The old ship of Zion is still floating. Amen. It's still cutting through. Because watch this. Of course, the Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is what? The heritage of the servants of the Lord. That goes starts all the way back to Isaac, and it works all the way back down to us. Praise the Lord. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. He can attack whatever he wants to attack, but we still are going to be standing. Come on, church, we're still going to be standing. But not only is he attacking the people of God when he mocked Isaac, but he also is attacking the plan of God. You know, the Bible clearly states, I mean, Isaac represents the plan for the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation was to be God's peculiar people. The blessings of Abraham were foreseen in the Bible. Look at Genesis chapter 17. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 17, and God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. Not Ishmael, Sarah. Not Hagar, excuse me, not Hagar, but Sarah. Not Hagar, y'all say not Hagar, Sarah. I will bless her, and I will give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she will be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said, shall a child be born to him that's 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. I mean, Abraham's even trying to say, let Ishmael be the one. Sarah, thy wife, will bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughter, because he's already laughing at God over this. And I'll establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I'll make him fruitful, and multiply him exceedingly. And there's billions of Muslims in this world, so he's definitely kept that promise. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac. How much plainer can that be? But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear with unto thee at this set time in the next year. God, look at somebody and say, God's got a plan for you. Look at somebody and say, God's got a plan for you. Now I want you to take your finger and point it out and say, God's got a plan for me. Amen. God's got a plan for us. But you know, Satan would like to attack it. He would like to distort it. He would like to destroy it. He would like you to be so full of fear that God, even though he's bringing it to you, you're afraid to step into it because of the terrorism of being attacked by Satan. But Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Praise God. anybody in here, God has a plan, and God wants to use you despite what the devil says. Amen. Yes, God wants to use you. Well, I'm too big. I'm too short. I'm too old. I'm too young. No. Somebody say no. Amen. It tickles me. My granny was there. That's one of the first words they learned was no. And you can tell them, you know the granny, you were doing something, they go, no. You know what? That's awesome, because when the devil comes at you, just say no. So he's attacking the people of God. He's attacking the plan of God. He's attacking the power of God. Isaac was a result of a direct miracle of divine power. Mocking Isaac was mocking God's power. He goes to a woman that can't even have children and gives her a child and gives her the covenant. And Ishmael, mocking, is saying, it don't matter what you heard from God. You know, Satan tries to do it with us. Satan's forever belittling God, and anything God does, the world mocks. How about that? Have you been mocked lately? Have you been picked on lately or talked about lately because you're a child of God? You know, can you believe some of the stuff that we actually hear and see and do? You know, it's like if a guy goes up and shoots up a clinic, an abortion clinic, says, God told me. That's all over the news, how God told this guy to shoot this clinic up. But now our governor, all that woman lost her head, and he was shouting Arabic sayings and praising Allah as he cut her head off. They're saying it's workplace violence. Fort Hood, workplace violence. And a lot of soldiers are losing benefits because it was workplace violence. It was not the war on terrorism. So now watch this. Anything God does, the world mocks. But do not be surprised when they mock the power of the gospel. Don't be surprised. He said, they talked about me, they're going to talk about you. They hurt me, they're going to hurt you. But here's what I got to say about the Bible. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God working on the salvation for the deliverance from eternal death to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek. God's word is forever settled in the heavens. You can mock it. You can try your best to say it does not work. God's word works. You can watch any psychologist, watch any psychiatrist, watch any of these leadership gurus that are teaching, and you can take anything that's working, and you can directly go back to the Bible, although they might not say it's in this verse, blah, blah, blah. They are taking principles out of the Bible and using them to counsel people, using them to lead people and to guide them. Biblical principles work. There's no other word, like the Bible says, not one jot or tittle is going to be moved, but the whole world can pass away. You know what a jot and a tittle is? A jot and a tittle, you first say you crossed your T's and dotted your I's, that's a tittle. Amen? So now, attacking the power of God. Fourthly, when he was mocking Isaac, he was attacking the provision of God. The great provision in Isaac's birth. The reason that God did all this, God wanted a holy people. He didn't want the tribes intermixing. He wanted a holy people because he was going to bring his son through a pure tribe. And then what was the tribe he came from? The line of the tribe of Judah. Okay. So now, by mocking this, you're saying, hey, that don't even matter. Matter of fact, I've already told you, the Muslims do not believe that Jesus is Savior. He's just a prophet. As a matter of fact, according to them, he didn't die on a cross. According to them, you know, according to Islam, Jesus, God blinded the eyes of the people, and they put another man on the cross in his place. And somebody else died. And at the last day, when God raises us up, he's going to raise up Jesus to bring forth judgment. I'm here to tell you something. At judgment day, God's just not going to raise up Jesus. Jesus is already there. He's alive and he's well and he's on the throne right now. He's walking, he's breathing, he's talking. He's talking to his people, he's talking for his people. He is an intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He's gone up to the Father, he's sat down. We're not waiting for God to raise him up. God already raised him up. And he's not just a prophet, he's the Son of Almighty God. So, Jesus was mocked at his birth, at his ministry, at his death. But on the third day, soldiers laid down as dead men. Those soldiers knew they would die if they hadn't protected that tomb. And they laid down like dead men, scared to death what they saw coming. Look, today, people are still mocking us. But when he comes in the clouds, call me what you want to call me. When those clouds split up, and call me gone. Amen? Just call me gone. Well, I might get a hold of David, but can't find him. I was praying one night. I was so upset. I was at Procter & Gamble. I was up there on like a three-story platform working on something. I couldn't get any help. And I said, Lord, I need some help. He said, I'll help you. I said, yeah, I need some manpower. And he said, I got God power. All right. And I began imagining. I'd go by and I'd wait for people to come help me, and they just look at me like they didn't see me, keep on going. And I was trying to work on the equipment and trying to program it and trying also to operate at the same time. I needed an operator up there. I needed somebody to help me other ways. And so when nobody was coming. And I had this, the Lord made me laugh. Because I'm up there thinking, y'all don't even see me. And about that time, the Lord showed me a vision of the rapture. Just a vision, just a quick vision. And it was a comical vision because I just disappeared. As I'm disappearing, they can see all the stuff backing up and the machine's still down, trying to get it. And they walk up to see what it was at, and all they see is my clothes. And I can hear it now. I knew David was crazy. But that boy's lost. He ran around the warehouse naked. We got to find him. And I just got laughing, and Lord helped me, and everything worked out okay. Finally. Isn't this good stuff? Three of you. Good stuff. I want you to think about this stuff for you to think about. This enlightens you. It's enlightenment. I'm not preaching hate. I'm not because there's a lot of guys I know, a lot of Muslims too. It's not hate. This is enlightenment so we know what's going on and why they're so mad, why the Islamic extremists are so mad at us. I even saw in the Quran what we're talking about. That don't make friends with Jews and don't make friends with Christians. It's there. Okay? So watch. Finally, he was attacking the promises of God. God promised that Isaac would be the progenitor or the person that actually brings forth. Progenitor means somebody that actually is in the front of the line and their line comes through them. And actually, the end of this is going to be Jesus. Progenitor of a great nation and provider of great blessings to the world, Ishmael mocked the promise of God. The world is ever mocking divine promises. Look at this. They mock the promise of Christ's return. They're mocking the promise of divine judgment upon evil. They mock the judgment or the promise of Israel's restoration. Well, you know what? Keep on mocking. Keep on mocking. Because you know why? Rest assured, his promise held in his church is what holds this whole world together. And when the church is taken out of the way, when church is taken into heaven, the Holy Spirit is going to be moved out of the way because the Holy Spirit is residing in the church. We're moved out of the way and all hell breaks loose. People are going to think it's bad now. They ain't seen anything yet. And when he comes back, this time he's coming back on a white horse. The first time it's in the rapture, he never touches the earth. He's in the clouds. The second time he comes back is going to be on a white horse. And he's going to be in a vesture dipped with blood. And he's coming down. And when he comes down, all of us that died in him and we loved him and we went up in the rapture, we're coming back with him. We're all coming back down. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Let me just show you this, and then I'm getting ready to call it quits. Ready? And I hope that this is that you see something, understand why we're so hated and why there's so much viciousness out there. Watch. The promises of God, Muhammad, he didn't die for us. Matter of fact, he didn't die. He brought a lot of death. He didn't die for us. He lies in a marked grave right now. And one day he will stand in judgment before God. That's Muhammad. Watch this. Jesus, he died for us. And in between marks his resurrection. One day he will stand as judge. And all the mocking, all of it, will be over. Wow. God, you're awesome. Go ahead and put that video up. God is so amazing that even in all of this junk that's going on in this world and all this stuff that's happening around us and the militants coming, trying to destroy and trying to kill, God is still number one in control. He is still the ultimate judge. Jesus is the Son of God. Isaac was the lion. Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. 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 Militant Islam teaches you have to do jihad to make sure you have a place in heaven. Jesus says, trust me. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Grace. Grace. Right now, I know this has been a very different message, but if you got a need in your life, I invite you to come up here and pray. Come on up here and pray. Talk to the Lord. If nothing else, ask God to continue to enlighten you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God, a powerful God. Help us, God. Enlighten us, Lord. Help us to see. Help us to know. Help us to understand. Use us, God. Thank you, Father. Jesus is the Son of God. Isaac, Jacob, or Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the start of this thing. Thank you, Father. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to come. All creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. If you want to sing it, there's the words. He's alive. We're not waiting for God to resurrect him. He's alive now. He's alive. Come on, church. He's alive. Praise God. He knows your need. He sees it. He's alive. With all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Be holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. I will adore you. God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. He sees your need. He's not waiting to see if we're good enough to get into heaven. Jesus Christ washed us of our sins. He made us good enough to get into heaven through the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lamb of God. Not somebody else put up on the cross. Jesus put up on the cross. He died a real death, but he rose again. Praise the Lamb of God. God is awesome. God is so awesome. So awesome. Don't walk around. That's right. You ain't got to walk around here scared to death. Keep your eyes open always. I tell people all the time, always. Keep a watch on what's going on around you always anyway. So you know what's happening around you. But at the same time, we're not going to walk around in fear. I refuse to walk around in fear. Amen. Amen? God is in control. Amen? God is awesome. Y'all come by at night. God's going to do something special tonight too. I believe that. God is awesome. And my beautiful wife up here. She's beautiful with and without my glasses on. She always says, keep your glasses off, I look prettier. And I said, no. I can say that about a few guys, but they look better with my glasses off, but you know.